Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today are two guests who were with us the last time that we were together, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield and Dr. Matt Williams. We were talking together last time about really putting a heart for God in our children. And I ended the broadcast with a question. You remember the question?
Yeah.
The question had to do with, you know, here we sit around this table, all of us immersed in ministry, and we have all of these ideas of what we do with our kids. And Kevin, you really gave us a great outline about what we need to do out of Deuteronomy 6. In fact, why don't you just take a second and repeat that?
Well, yeah, it begins in Genesis from the life of Abraham. We're to model the truth. God says, I know him. I know exactly what Abraham is and what he's doing and how he's going to live his life, and he is going to model the truth. And then secondly is molding the truth, and that's Deuteronomy 6, where we are after the Shema, that great statement about the Lord our God is one. Then he says, now you take this truth, this word, and you mold it into your children. And we talked about how we do that with a number of different things. And then lastly, it's ministering together with our children, which is a key.
So you got to model it first. Then you got to mold it, which means you take it and you put it in their life, and then you got to involve them in ministry, which is what you were talking about, Matt, when you and your wife would take your girls and your boys and you take them out to widows' homes and you'd try to do some ministry with them.
Yeah, you know, it used to be you'd hear the phrase, well, get your children in church and they'll turn out okay. That's a start, but that's not everything.
Sure.
And this is where I believe this modeling and molding really does come. You know, you think of different passages of Scripture. I think of Joshua 1:8, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to all day long just quote Bible verses to one another. But what it does mean is our lives need to be revolved around God's Word. That's what church does. And that's part. So that's the modeling part, and that's getting into the molding part with our children, that every situation in life has to be based upon, you know, what's God's purpose for me? Where am I going? If we'll do that with our lives, and then really seek to instill that in our children's lives, and then give them opportunities of being able to be involved in the lives of others. That's where I think we take that outline that Kevin gave and instill it in our families.
Right, now, I believe the outline, and I believe everything you've said. I've got a little boy that's going to be a teenager here in about 3 years that I'm going to have to do these things with, and I'm trying to do them right now. But here's the issue, and I think that if we could get our listeners to sit around this table with us and they could really be honest with us, they would say something like, you know what, I really want to do this. I know this is right. I really have a passion. I want my kids to turn out right. They're listening to us, and many of them have gotten up at the crack of dawn to get to work, you know, today. And they're not going to get home till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. They're bone weary. They're doing everything they can to make ends meet. They're messing around with whatever job the Lord has given them to try to be a good witness for him on that job. Most of them, many of them, have never had the privilege of going out to a Bible college. I mean, they're working maybe a second job so their children can have the opportunity to be in a Christian school or go to a Christian college. So they're doing what they can. But I think the big question that a lot of these guys are going to have for us is, how do I do this at home? I don't know how to have family altar. I don't know. I mean, I put the bread on the table, and my wife, God's given me a good wife, and she's doing her part to try to get the kids raised properly. And I know all of us have a burden to get our men involved. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the guys. I'm really not. I mean, men have got to step up to the plate, and I know the men in our church have really taken that challenge and have moved up to the front line to take the ball and try to take a swing at it. Honestly, how do we help people who really have a burden to do this to do it?
Well, you know, I really think that the first thing you've got to do is, of course, as you just said, get beyond all the excuses. Once we get on beyond all the excuses, the first thing you have to understand is we're not talking about 3 hours. I think so many guys get afraid because they think, well, I've never, don't have a Bible college degree, and I don't know how to exegete the text, and, you know, I don't know how to do any of those things, so how could I have family devotions? Well, really, we're not talking about a 3-hour message. We're talking about 10 to 15 minutes. Consistency. 5 minutes every day with your family will do more over a lifetime than you can even imagine. If they know it's important and it's non-negotiable, except for when special occasions come in, like, for instance, when I travel, sometimes I'm out of town, my wife will do it with our children. because I'm not there. But if they know it's non-negotiable and it's just a brief time together in the Word, that does an incredible thing. I was thinking when we got talking about this in a student leadership conference in Indiana a couple of years ago, and Brother Williams knows the place we were, a kid stood up and Thursday night gave a testimony, and that testimony flabbergasted me because he stood up and he said this. He said, I want to be just like my dad. He said, that's what I've learned at leadership camp this week. I want to be just like my dad. He started to sit down. I said, hold on, stand back up. So he stands up and I said, what do you mean by that? He says, every morning I come down from my room and my dad is on his knees, on his face every day of my life. And so I said, well, is your dad in the ministry? He says, no, sir. My dad works at a factory. He said, my dad works. He's not a theologian, doesn't do this, but every day of my life, I walk downstairs and my dad is on his face in the Word, praying and seeking God. And that impacted him and impacted every kid there.
Mm-hmm.
When you just stop and think about it, wow. We're not talking about having to be a rocket scientist or a great theologian. We're just talking about consistent time in the Word, even just reading it. You don't necessarily have to give.
All right, so we start with that. But let me ask you, Matt, you worked at JCPenney's. You were climbing the corporate ladder. God saved you. You're married. You got a young family that's growing. You didn't go to Bible college at that point in your life.
Right.
You had no spiritual formation at that point. How did you start?
Well, it was a little easier when the children were preschool age because their schedule was revolved around mine. So mm-hmm. I'd come home, everybody was there. That made it a little bit easier. As the children got older, it was a lot more difficult because their schedules were...
Was it intimidating to you?
To do that?
Yeah.
Not really, because there's a lot of tools out there. And a lot of times my wife was very good at helping with those tools, too. But, you know, you can just take some little, you know, all Christian bookstores have the little children's storybook or the keys for kids or various... Mm-hmm. products that are out there that you can use, and just to read a little thing and then to talk about it is very, very good. And that's a way to begin. You know what I found is our children got older, and many times there were schedules that were so busy that I can't say that we would be able to pull everybody together on a particular day. But yet at the same time, we tried as a family to revolve our lives around what's God's purpose. And so whatever situations would come up in life, for years, I would normally be over at church before my family would be at church. But even on the way to church, my wife's praying with the kids mm-hmm. and saying, okay, let's ask God to bless today. Yes. Why are we going to church? Because as we're going to church today, it's two reasons. Number one, we want to be open and receptive to what God has for us from His Word today in Sunday school and church. But then number two, let's pray and ask God to use us to be a help and an encouragement to somebody else. Maybe a first-time visitor. Maybe someone else, and then they'd pray. Well, what that's doing, to me, that's Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it talks about revolving our lives around the things of God. And so I don't believe that family devotions is just a magical time where we take our 5 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, but then the rest of the time where everybody's doing their own thing. It's exactly. Got to be, number one, that's where we get back to the model of the parents. The principle that I often think of is, let my purpose prioritize my life.
Now,
what is my
powerful.
Purpose in life?
Well, why don't you talk about that a little bit, Matt?
Well, in Philippians 2, you know, it talks about Jesus Christ, and it said that others before Christ, and then it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what did he do? It said he made himself of no reputation
mm-hmm.
and became obedient unto death, even the death mm-hmm. of the cross. That was his purpose. Now, Jesus was a great teacher, and he ministered and all this, mm-hmm. but his purpose, he knew what his purpose
yeah.
was. That was to die on the cross for our sins.
And he never wavered from that.
He didn't waver from it. And then we have a purpose. And see, to me, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is our purpose. To give ourselves mm-hmm. back yeah. as a living sacrifice. Because of it says it's only reasonable that we do that because of what yeah. Jesus Christ did for us. I try to remind myself every day at the beginning of the day. In fact, what I do is I quote my life verses, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, to myself nearly every morning. That's a reminder to me of, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
What's my purpose? And if I'll start my day with that, then what happens, I believe it begins to transfer to my wife and family and hopefully to other mm-hmm. people
yeah.
that I come in contact with.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about modeling and molding. The molding part is having this time with our children mm-hmm. where we put the truth, or we bring them to places where the truth can be put. But that's going to be powerless if it's not modeled first. That's
no
what
question.
I'm hearing you guys say.
Exactly.
Now, how important is it for a child, for a teenager, to see mom and dad in church serving?
I think it's key. I mean, again, I look back at my children, and my grown children are in ministry, and the others are preparing for ministry. I never said to them, "Now you need to go into ministry. If you don't go into ministry, I don't think that's as good as being in the ministry." I just wanted God's will for their life. But to me, I think they saw mom and dad enjoying ministering. And now we happen to be in full-time Christian work, but I see other families where dad's working a job and so forth, and mom might even be working part-time, and yet at the same time, their children see that serving God is the most important thing in their life, and they see the joy. Because, you know, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And that's talking about after Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
I think the key that you said there was the way that you serve with joy.
Yeah.
Now, I think sometimes we define service in such a way that in our minds, it's like teaching or preaching or singing. But there are so many ways to serve in a local church. There's ushering, there's greeting, there's working on the cleanup teams, all the maintenance work that has to be done. There's just upteen ways that you can serve. In the Awana program with the youth, you could go to your youth pastor and say, "Hey, I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing." There's just really a zillion ways that you can involve yourself in some area of ministry. And it almost doesn't matter where, as long as you're doing it with joy.
Yes.
If your children see that you love church and that you're there when the doors are open and that you are supportive of what and you're excited about what God is doing, that's catching.
I taught a principle for years I called the video principle. Every child is born in the record mode.
Hmm.
And they record and record and record until the day they push stop and they push rewind and they push play. And you get to watch a living example of what you have modeled for them for a number of years. And that's really what you're going to see and what you're going to see fleshed out. And I really don't think we understand just how impacting our own modeling of the truth is. But it really can have life-transforming and life-impacting purpose for the rest of their life if we will model the truth with joy, as you said.
Well, men, we're going to have to wrap this up, but let me leave us with this thought, and this will actually launch us into our third and final broadcast together on this topic. If we're really going to do this, we're going to have to get past how we feel and how tired we are and all the 900 reasons why we're too busy to do this and that's mom's job, but we're going to have to step up as men and do this, and that means we're going to have to be a servant. And so I'd like for you to help us in our next broadcast talk about what servant leadership is all about.
Mm.
And until then, we're going to have to say goodbye. It's been a blessing to have this opportunity to talk together on this topic. Dr. Olala does have a discipleship journal entitled Manna that is our gift offer this month. And for those of you who are listening who would like a copy, if you write in and for a donation of $10, we are more than happy to send you a copy of Manna. And you can send your donation or any question that you might have about today's broadcast to the contact information that is provided here in just a moment. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless.